9 years ago tomorrow, Brendan went off with his friends going on holiday, and unfortunately, a man driving a car coming the opposite direction, drunk, convicted for drunk driving, and not only drunk driving, but full of drugs as well, ploughed into them and killed Brendan. 9 years tomorrow. I'm joined on the telephone now to discuss this terrible, tragic day and how things have gone on since with his mum, Christina Donnelly. Christina, good morning.
Good morning, Gerry. Thank you very much for airtime again. You're very good.
I won't say it's a pleasure because it's not, but, you know, look, Christina, do you mind, 9 years ago tomorrow, do you mind just for our listeners going through, you know, reliving that experience or that tragic day on that day 9 years ago, just briefly?
No, not at all, because it is so fresh in my mind, all of the month of October, and especially today. I am actually reliving what was happening at this time, you know, those years ago, with having Brendan with me. And as you said, my beautiful son was heading off to Amsterdam with his good friend Lee and their two partners, and it was simply a break, just for 4 days. Lee had a little baby girl, and Brendan had just moved into his first new house, and of course, four young people, all the joys and the life ahead of them. And as usual, when Brendan would go anywhere, I would get a text to say that he had arrived, but sadly that wasn't what I got. It was a phone call from the Gardaí in Middleton. But as they went outside Castle Martyr, as many of your friends, many of your listeners would know, Gerry, a driver so full of alcohol and cocaine came up the wrong side of the road, and he ploughed straight into them, leaving the scene of the crash. And he was found 7 miles up a country road by the Gardaí, and he denied that it was him driving when he was caught. But I always think, and I don't think it will ever leave me, the fact that he, Anthony Long, left people in a car, not even knowing it was four young people, but to leave anybody in a car on the side of the road. You wouldn't leave a dog on the side of the road if you hit them. To leave them and not even think, you know, could he help? Could he even help in any way? But he took the cheap way out and left all four young people in the car, two dead, one seriously injured.
And Christina, without going too much into it, because I don't want to be upsetting you more than you've obviously, you know, being upset at the moment. When you get a call like that, right, and you're told that your son was critically injured or dead on the side of the road, like, do your thoughts go to, you know, the person that ploughed into them? Were you told straight away that he had absconded? And can I just ask you that you mentioned his name, but in the interests of, you know, family listening, can I just ask that we don't mention his name? It's okay, because he's been convicted and he has done his time. But
fine.
The question I'm asking, do your thoughts automatically go to, you know, my God, my son, my beautiful son is dead? Or do you deal with the repercussions? How do you get your mind around something like that? It was one thing to have the accident, the collision. It wasn't even an accident. It was a collision, right? But to know, at what stage were you told that he had absconded and left the car in the middle of the road?
I found that out when I had actually got to the hospital. Down to Cork University Hospital when I was met with the Gardaí, that he had, because the first question I asked the Gardaí who was waiting for my other son and I at the Cork University Hospital was, he said, we've caught him, and he said he'd left the scene and he was 7 miles gone up a country road, and that's what I was told outside the hospital.
And at that stage, does your grief turn to bitterness? Does it turn to dismay? Does it turn to, you know, you want to get him and give him one in the face?
I can remember that. I remember when the guard told me that Brendan was dead when I was standing in my kitchen, which was, no words will explain it, because I was on my knees on the floor. But when I got to the hospital, I remember my son asking the guard as well, like, where is he? He's been arrested. I was asking, who was he? I was asking questions like that. But it just, I can honestly say that I can remember, but I did, the anger I felt because I was going in to the hospital to look for my son who was dead. And I just wanted to get, I'll be honest, I wanted to get my hands on the person who had done this to us, to this lovely family and to my beautiful son.
Because I, you lost your son, but there was four in the car. A newborn baby was left, you know.
Home, yes.
You know, like, how do you get the strength to get through this? You're dealing with being told that your son is, and I hope I'm not upsetting it too much, Christina, but...
Jerry, you're not upsetting me at all.
I just want, you know, to share with our listeners, you know, you have the grief of being told your son has been killed on the side of the road. Then you're being told that the guy that crashed into him hightailed it and was arrested 7 miles down the road. Then you have to go through all the, you're grieving, but you're trying to get over the anger. Then you're trying to get through, I suppose, you know, you have all the grieving process. You have the trauma of the funeral, the burial, the laying to rest of your beloved son. Like, it's just unbelievable how you had the courage to get through this.
I think that even speaking with other parents, but speaking for myself and for my son, Sean, you're actually so numb that you're like a puppet. That's the only way I can describe it. But you're so numb and you're so dead inside that, you know, I often thought back on that. How did we get through it? But it's like, you know, you have to do these things. You're working on automatic pilot, if that any makes sense. But I can remember how I felt. I mean, I was absolutely numb. I mean, if somebody said to me, stand on your head, I would have stood on my head because I honestly didn't know what I was doing. And I mean, it was with the help of a very close friend. And I mean, if it hadn't been for her and a son, Sean's friends supporting him because he was and still is absolutely distraught from the loss of his brother. But then he couldn't cope either. So, you know, you're trying to take care of your son and you're trying to make all these arrangements. And the one thing that always sticks in my mind, and I think it's good that we're talking about this, but if there's any listeners who still continue to drink and drive, is the fact that this is what happened to a family, all because of the actions of a drunk driver. And it's the fact that I always remember walking up on the Mall in Burr and going into the priest's house to arrange the sermons and the services for Brendan's funeral. And I can distinctly remember going into the choirmaster. That will never leave me. And I was sitting there in his house. I didn't even know what I was asking for or talking about. And he was asking me about the songs. And I just couldn't get it. My friend Anne had to really speak up for me because it's something you would hear, God forbid, when God bless you and you have to go to somebody else's funeral. But I just couldn't take in the fact that I was trying to pick songs for a boy who loved his modern music and was always in the thick of it. And
how old was he at the time, Christina?
24,
with his life in front of him.
Absolutely wonderful, wonderful. And here am I trying to pick out hymns and psalms, and that has never left me, never left me.
Now, I know we've spoken a couple of times since because somehow, somewhere, you said to me at some stage that you found that Brendan gave you an inner strength and helped you get through many a dark day, yeah?
He did.
And you decided then, you know, there are two ways you can go. You can fold up and, you know, become a lesser person, or you can decide to do something to, as you said yourself on several occasions, and you mentioned it there, to try and avoid another family having to go through what your family and indeed the other people involved have gone through as well. And you decided to lobby and to, I suppose, rally and protest against everything. And you took it fairly strong, didn't you?
I did. And I hate saying I did because it was about justice for other families of the future. I've always said it that way. But it was justice for Brendan and Lee as well, because I knew that it had to be wrong, as listeners will have heard me say over and over and over again. It was within a year of losing Brendan that I realised one day, how is it possible that somebody who has taken the lives of people and this law in Ireland where you can brought to the Garda station, charged, car impounded, police impounded, but yet you can walk out again the following morning and you can get into a car and drive. And it just did not make sense. And the more I looked at Brendan's pictures and the more I thought about my son, I thought, this cannot. So that's where my journey started on the campaign.
And this brought us along to Brendan's Law, yeah?
Yes, Brendan's Law.
And you decided to fight that locally, and then you took it to national level, and you had success during the year with that, didn't you?
I did, thanks be to God, with everything and with many, many visits to Dublin and many doors closed on my face. And well, I was like a dog with a bone. That Brendan was like that. He was a great believer in justice. And I know if the situation had been reversed, Brendan would have done exactly the same thing. And that's not a lie. And I knew, the more people said, you're wasting your time, it's a law that's been written in stone, it's never been challenged, I just thought, no, you know, this cannot be. But a lot of your listeners will know what happened with that campaign. And finally, it was Brendan's Law came under the umbrella of the legislation, which was passed. So now, if you're caught drunk driving, you're taken off the road immediately. And that is for all bereaved families in the future, because it will never take our loved ones back. I'm very proud of Brendan for giving me the strength to do that.
Well, you know, you just took the words out of my mouth. You know, hats off to you and everyone else that campaigned, which I know you hit a few bumps along the way, pardon the pun, but you met with opposition, you met with certain politicians who shall remain nameless. Yes. That kind of brushed you off their shoulders. But you were not to be defeated. And, you know, I suppose it's befitting to discuss that 9 years on, you now have the legislation passed that if a person is found to be drunk driving or drug driving, that they're automatically off the road. And fair play to you for securing that.
Thank you very much. Thank you. But the one thing I would just like to say before we finish, Gerry, is that the statistics this morning, and I actually got them from Paul Byrne from Virgin TV, the correspondent, that between the 15th, after all the hard work from campaigners and the money and the time, the RSA, all those involved in trying to save lives on our roads, and it's on our television, it's in our media, we are reading it every day in our newspapers about drink driving. And I don't think any more can be done to make the public realise what a danger it is to get into a lethal weapon with alcohol. But from the 15th to the 21st of October, 195 arrests on suspicion of drink driving. And from January to September this year, 6,562 people were arrested on suspicion of drink driving. I'm absolutely shocked at the stats.
Absolutely appalling. And
absolutely appalling. And the other thing that is in focus is that from Friday in Dublin, they have the Operation Lockdown, which is happening. And that is what they're going to do is put out multi-checkpoints in one particular area targeting drink driving. But what I say is, even though this will save lives on our roads and take drunk drivers off our roads, this checkpoints, it needs to be every weekend across the country leading to and from the pubs.
Yeah, because like if you know there's a checkpoint up the road, you're going to take a different route, aren't you?
Exactly, and a lot of rural areas do not have checkpoints.
I know. And to be fair, like, you know, we're here in Youghal and we have a Garda station. I know a lot of lads from doing the Garda report every week. And to be fair, they don't have the manpower. And I think that's where the problem is. We were only discussing this the other day. Gone are the days when you see the beat on the street, as they were called. You see guards walking the pathways. Or
yes.
They don't have the manpower. So in the budget there, they announced 800 new recruits for the guards. I actually spoke to Gardaí about this, and there's about 1,100 guards retiring this year.
I know.
So we're still going to be at a deficit. And unfortunately, you know, the guards are doing the best they can with the manpower they have. But, you know, I suppose, Christina, before we finish up, and I have a special song for in Brendan's memory. I know he was an avid fan of Bob Marley.
Oh, yes.
And I'm going to play Buffalo Soldier because I know he, to you, he was a soldier.
Oh, absolutely.
And always will be because I know he lives in your memory forever. Oh. I suppose the other reason I brought you on today, in advance of the anniversary tomorrow, which I know will be very solemn for you.
I'll be down in Castle Marta with my flowers.
Well, you know, I'm going to issue that invitation again, Christina. You let me know when and where you'll be passing the station. We love the kettle on.
Could I just say, and I will let you go with this, could I please, please, please ask those listening and the same to say to your family and your friends and to anybody who's going on the road or passengers in a car or if they think that the driver has been drinking, could I please ask, do not drink and drive. You know, let's get home and let's get back to our loved ones and please take care on the roads because I wouldn't wish the turmoil I and all bereaved families go through on anybody because there's an empty chair at the table, which is just heartbreaking. So I wish every driver this weekend a very, very safe bank holiday weekend. But please remember, no distracted driving, speeding, drinking or use of mobile phones.
You are an absolute amazingly strong woman. You know, like, the thing that annoys me when I do the Garda reports, the amount of people that are caught with, you know, Section 41s that are over the limit. Like, with the amount of public transport that's there, there's a fantastic transport service no matter where you go. There's shared drivers, you can, you know, like...
No reason to...
Absolutely no excuse.
No excuse. There is no excuse. And I just... that's why I say we're not talking about something simple. There's no excuse to drink and drive because it will take a life. At some stage, you know, my story could be another person's story. My yesterday is somebody else's tomorrow.
I know. Unfortunately, that's the land we're living in and that's the world we're living in as well.
Yes.
Christina, I hope I didn't upset you too much with the content of the conversation, but I felt it was, you know, important to share it with our listeners and I know possibly therapeutic with you as well that you were able to share your thoughts with us, yeah?
Again, it's Brendan giving me the strength as well also and but coming from my heart, I plead with people this weekend, every weekend and every day of the year, please do not drink and drive. And if you fear that a driver has been drinking, don't get in the car because I wish everybody to get home safely to their families.
Christina, you've left me speechless and not many people can do that.
Gerry, thank you for having me and being able to get the road safety message across.
And a message from Anne as well. She says hi and she'll be thinking of it tomorrow and she'll light a special candle for Brendan tomorrow, okay?
Thank you so, so much. And I will come and see you. I promise.
You do that. You give us a shout. I'm here all day tomorrow. Give us a shout and I'll have the kettle on. We'll have the cup of tea in the chat and we'll get through the day.
Castle Martyr for a long time tomorrow.
Yeah, no bother. Look, you. Whenever you're ready, you know the door is always there for you, all right?
Safe driving to everybody.
Christina Dunne, absolutely wonderful to speak with you.